A reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you this, do not oppose evil with evil. If someone slaps you on your right cheek, turn and offer him the other. If someone sues you in court for your shirt, let him have your coat as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with him. Give when asked. Do not turn your back on anyone who wants to borrow from you. The Gospel of the Lord. It's so very familiar. Chapter 5 of Matthew, Sermon on the Mount. Immediately after this is Jesus preaching, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It's Jesus' tough love, inviting us to tough love. It's inviting us to look again at nonviolence, at refusal to hate, at refusal to kill. Long ago, when my brother Bill was a conscientious objector during the Vietnam War, he sent me a poster which read, whatever love your enemy means, it certainly means don't kill them. Today's reading, Gandhi said it first, if we follow an eye for an eye, we'll all end up blind. Jesus, do not oppose evil with evil. But do more than just passively receive the evil. If someone hits you on one cheek, offer the other. If they take your shirt, offer your coat as well. If it forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. Give when asked, do not turn your back on anyone who wants to borrow. It's all so familiar to us. It's the essence of Christian ethic and the conduct which should be distinguish the Christian from others. We are not to be caught up in our own personal rights, in our own personal privileges, in getting our due, but rather look at the responsibilities and the demands of compassion and love. Now, for most of you listening to this preaching, it's likely nothing new. It's the core of Christian ethics. It includes a tremendous challenge which goes against our Western American culture. In this regard, it's also part of the basis for Christian nonviolence. As I'm preparing this reflection, I'm hearing the news on the radio about the situation in northern Iraq. Just last night, I had talked to some Iraqi friends, and they said the tension was very, very high. Some families had begun to move out of Mosul and Kirkuk. I wondered about Yusuf Toma, a Dominican who I had met in 2002 and I had kept in touch with. He was made Archbishop of Kirkuk just a few months ago. At that time, many people said, well, Iraq was becoming more tranquil, normalized. And then just now I heard on the radio that Mosul, a city I knew, with 2 million people, that Mosul had fallen to a group of Al-Qaeda called ISIS. And that the terrorists were moving towards Kirkuk. My first reaction was simply horror that this could be happening. And reports were of terrific violence and slaughter of unarmed citizens, children, women, men. I remembered the wonderful church in Mosul, the Dominican parish, and the mother house of the sisters. Everything had been abandoned. The Dominican family had fled to Karakosh and other small Christian villages in the north. As I say, I was at first just shocked and then terribly, terribly sad. I tried to call my Iraqi friends, and I thought about the pain and suffering and scars that had already been experienced by them since the U.S. invasion. It was just unbelievable. They thought it was finally over until now, today. I remembered what Yusuf Tomas had said to me in those months just after the invasion. I had seen the chaos and the vast destruction and the wounds of the people from the shock and awe invasion. Yusuf Tomas was totally disillusioned then because he thought the Americans would have some plan other than destruction and military occupation. But clearly there was no plan. And he said, no matter how all this ends up, no matter who wins, in the end it will be horrible and almost annihilation for the Christians. And now June 2014, this almost annihilation was being played out. And so I was very, very sad as I began this reflection today. But then a tremendous anger just swept over me. It was the anger going back to the preparation for the U.S. invasion. I did not trust the war-mongering rhetoric of President Bush and Vice President Cheney and Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld. And I was very suspicious. My suspicions had been proven over and over in the last 11 years. And now my anger was because their lies, and it can be called nothing but lies, their lies and the consequences of those lies were continuing to the horrible news of today and the triumph of Al-Qaeda and ISIS. I remember how three Dominicans and myself had passed into Iraq in what was the easiest border crossing I'd ever made. No customs, no securing of the border. Nothing had been set up. 9 months after the invasion of the U.S., I discovered that it was just as easy for tens of thousands of Al-Qaeda and other foreign terrorist groups to pour into Iraq. Thus, the Iraq War, fueled by foreign terrorists. Thomas Aquinas once wrote that an untruth or a slight error in the principles in the beginning can lead to huge errors and mistakes and disasters in the end. The lies of that Bush administration resulted in a massive military humiliation and near genocide of the culture of that Iraqi people. A people that took great pride in the honor of being at the cradle of civilization. The lies also resulted in the loss of dignity of a lovely Christian people who could trace their Catholicity back to Thomas the Apostle. And now, what to say to the Iraqi people? Except to seek forgiveness for our part in still another terrible social sin against them, to somehow share as members of the suffering body of Christ, to share in their pain, to meet them in the broken heart of Christ. And to us in the U.S., there's got to be a new commitment to the gospel principles of nonviolence and to putting those principles into action.